Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I will trust you and obey. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. Oh, when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, and I'll Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I will trust you and obey. Oh, when your spirit speaks to me, you'll help with my whole heart.
Trust you and obey. Oh, when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes.
Oh Lord,
yes.
Oh,
when I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Oh,
to your will.
Trust you.
what? Oh, I'll say yes.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I will trust you and obey.
And when your spirit speaks to me,
with my whole heart I'll agree.
Oh,
and my answer will be yes. Lord, yes. Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, Lord, yes. I'll say yes.
Listen to what David said when he was when he fled from Saul in the cave. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." He said, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performed all things for me." He said, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. Say that again. Selah. I mean, he was sitting in a cave, but he knew his God was for him. He knew God would deliver him. This is in the 57th chapter of Psalms. He said, "My soul is among lions, and I will lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. But he didn't give up. He said, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all earth." Say glory. 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 I mean, they have prepared a net for me. Excuse me, for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Then he says, "Sheila." He's sitting in a cave and he's yelling, "Sheila." You know, are you going to sit in a cave and holler, "Sheila"? I doubt it. If I was sitting in an old wet cave, I'd be wondering, how am I going to get out of here? Oh God, have you forsaken me? But he's saying, "Sheila." He says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing unto you." You know, I wonder, sometimes I wonder, you know, and then he was talking about the Philistines. They captured him and took him to Gath, and you know, it never said anything, but I bet they was pretty rough on him. Especially, you know, but he was still singing out. He said, until these calamities are past, he said, I, and he was still praising God. You know, "Sheila," that's what he was saying. "Sheila, glory, glory." Can we shout to God in our calamities? Until our calamities are over. So we know that God delivered David out of all those things. So he can deliver us. I mean, he can deliver us. That's why I'm here tonight. My God can deliver me. He can deliver me in anything. And he can do anything. I have no doubt about that. I've learned... That's like this guy was going to be hung. I asked him, "Well, what have you got to say?" He said, "Well, I learned one thing." "I've learned don't steal horses." But it was a little bit late. But I've learned me something. I have. Just in time, just in the nick of time, that God can save me. I've learned something. You know, I learned a long time ago when I was a teenager, don't ever let your spirits get riled up. And if they do, keep them under your hat. Don't let everybody see them. Even though you got your spirits riled up, you ain't causing trouble. You know, I learned that a long time ago. And then pretty soon it'll work itself out. Let God work it out. You know, I've learned to trust in God more and more. I know I got up and talked about the time that we broke down on the way to a church service in Godfrey, Illinois. But God showed me something. That always to trust in God. Like David was in the cave. "Sheila." You know, I can say that God has been my friend for a long time. You know, I know there's a lot of times I forget about him, but he's my best friend. He is my best friend. You can be driving down the highway and talk to God. And you can tell God all your troubles. And he'll listen to you. And he knows how to give you an answer. He knows how to... help you come out of your trials. And he knows how to, just what to do. So my God can do anything. Anything. And so I have high expectations of what he's going to do. You know, you can put your trust in God. Because, you know, you can't put your trust in a man. You can't put your trust in the bank. You can't put your trust in your your car or your house or your land or anything, but you can put your trust in God, because He is our shield and our buckler. He can make things happen. God makes things happen from generation to generation. We may grow up, we may be born and grow up and die and become fertilizer for this earth, but God is forever. And don't you want to be a part of that? I do. I love to live. I love life. And I know there's one that can help me get through this world alive, and that is Jesus Christ. So I'm glad to be here. I love God, and I am trying to be a better servant to God. That's what I'm trying to be. Like Brother Michael was saying today, our, what do you call it? Help me here. Agenda. Put that agenda on the front burner as to serve God. The other agendas is always personal. No matter how big it gets, your agenda is always selfish. I mean, that is to, no matter how many people follows you or whether nobody follows you or whatever you do, most of the time our agenda is to bring things unto ourselves. But if we put God's agenda first, that means God becomes our agenda. And so I'm glad I'm here tonight. Aren't you? I need a filling to help me the rest of the week. Because I may be in the cave of Adullam this week. And so help me to say, Sheila, you know, if I get there, Sheila, you know. David, he while he was there, he wrote songs, I think, while he's sitting in the cave. You know, and, you know, David, it was an amazing man when he, from the time he was a little boy till the time he grew old and died, he went through a lot. But he wrote down a lot of things. But he trusted in God. And so help me to trust in God with my life. That's exactly what it is our life. He said that his burdens are not grievous. And that means that they're not hard on you. They're easy. He said, come and my burdens shall be light. So sometimes we think, man, this cross is heavy to bear. But it's really not. Now just, I'm not saying this because this week my burden's going to be really heavy. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is serving God is a lot of fun. I mean, you can come to church and not only that, but you can just go about your everyday life knowing that there's a friend there that you can talk to anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's always got, there's a song, Jesus is on the main line, and tell him what you want. You know, call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. You know, let God know. And he knows our thoughts and the very intents of our heart. But I just wanted to get up and say how much I love God and how much I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God, and that I want to continue to be a part of the family of God, because I understand that that means life, and it means life eternal. And that's what I'm striving for today, is eternal salvation. At the very end, that is when God gives me a resurrection, I can buzz to the moon if I want to Jupiter, wherever, throughout the whole universe, because God made everything, and I think He made God made everything for his son and all of his sons and daughters. And I want to be included in that. Because I want to, like Brother Horton said, I want to go to Jupiter one of these days and look and see what it looks like. I want to know what happened. I want to know things. I'm a curious guy. I want to know what goes on and what's a buzzing. And so, you know, buzzing means what's happening right now. You know, I don't know what they say now, what's going on, but whatever you want to call it, that means we love life. And we want life eternal. We want life eternal. And so, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I want to, but the main thing I'm here is, I've got some great brothers and sisters. But the main thing I'm here is to let God help me become righteous. There's a lot of things about me that I have a sinful nature. But if I can get my agenda right, if I can get my agenda jiving with your agenda and our agenda striving and jiving with Christ's agenda, we'll have the right agenda. Did I say that right? Okay. So let's get our agenda right. I appreciate that. I appreciate what I heard today, aren't you? I appreciate that. But again, I'm glad I'm here.
Hearing all the words, encouraging words, and I remember Brother Tucker used to say that, you know, when you get up to tell your problems or whatever, don't get up to say, oh, woe is me, you know, this and that, but tell what you're going through, where how God has helped you to help others. And that's why I like to hear other people's testimonies, because it makes me feel like I'm not the only one. And when Sister Smith talked today, it's like, oh my God, some things that she said I can't tell you right now word by word, but I mean, if you were here, you heard it, that it really did encourage me. And trust, that is the right there, that's the main word that she was talking about, and he was talking about tonight too, about trusting God. And I am learning more and more the meaning of it. And I mean, I really, really have been trusting him. And I've, just by doing that, it's not, but not worrying. Again, I used to worry, and you know, a lot of you guys know that my husband's not worked for over a month, and about the 25th, you know, our mortgage is always due that time, and oh my goodness, no money coming in, but okay, Lord, you know that what's going on and how you're going to help me. I know that you're going to make a way, because I'm doing my part. You know, God helps those who help themselves. I'm not just sitting around not doing anything, really been working. And lo and behold, this man comes to the house and gives us $320. And then a lady called me and said she heard that Stan hadn't been working and come by her job and gave me $150. Right there was the mortgage. And I want to thank God. I mean, I've already thanked him over and over. But it's like, you know, why worry? You know, he's in control. And anyways, last Friday, no, a week ago, my sister is, I haven't told, you know, I don't go around telling people that, you know, oh God, what am I going to do? Stan's not working, this and that, you know. But she called and said, you know, I need you to come. We're moving, and I need you to come just take over, pack, do whatever you can. And I've worked 3 days, but the 3 days I worked is like 3 hours, 2 hours, you know, 8 hours. And she said, now, you know, tell me the second time. She's like, tell me how much to. I said, Lou, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you just give me whatever you want. You know, any little thing will help. And Friday I picked up my check that she left there, $150. And I was like, that's more than what I expected. And I'm, you know, going to continue working every week till she moves. She wants to be moved by Christmas. And while I was there one day last week, I was by myself. Me and, well, Hannah was with me. And I walked in the bathroom. And I'm talking about, I slipped like that. And I went, wham. I mean, on my back, my head just bounced back and forth. And I was like, oh, my God. And I could feel myself, like, passing out. And I started wanting to holler Hannah's name. Hannah was in the other bedroom. And I, Hannah. And I swear I sounded like one of those special, blah, blah, you know, like that. I was going, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't talk. And I was like, oh, God, please, Lord. And the way I was praying, you know, didn't sound right. But I was praying, telling him to please don't let me pass out. I have a child in there I need to take care of. Please, Lord, help me, Lord, now. And all of a sudden, my words started coming clear. And I go, Hannah. And she come in there. She goes, Nina, you fall down. I go, yes. I go, I help you up. And I said, that's okay, honey. And I started scooting myself to the hallway. And I got up. And, oh, it felt like somebody had just punched my, you know, hit my head with a hammer. It was hurting so bad. And I went and got my phone, called Stan. I said, start praying for me because I don't know what's going to happen if I'm going to pass out. And Hannah's here with me. And I'm going to teach her how to use my phone. And so if you get a call, you know, just come on. You know where Lou lives. And he said, okay. So I said, Hannah, come here. And I showed her. I said, see, there's Papa's face right there. You just push that button. You call Papa when Nana goes to sleep. And she said, okay, Nina. She called me Nina instead of Nana. And so I let her have my phone and told her to do it, and she did it. So I was felt okay. But I sat down for a while and started. I didn't feel nothing hurting other than my head, and that was Monday. And then Tuesday all day, that's when everything started hurting. Muscles I didn't know that I had hurt, and my head still. I would take some ibuprofen, and it would, like, dull it a little bit. It was still hurting so bad. Wednesday, I thought, oh, God, you know, that little enemy, like, oh, okay, you could stay home and rest. I said, no, I'm going to church. I can hurt there just as well as I can hurt at home. So I was telling Angie about it, and she's like, you know, you want to go pray? I said, no, I'll see. I can feel, I'll know, you know, if I need to go. And if something or somebody says something that I feel like, you know, I could go. Well, Sister Rachel gets up and sings that song, and about trusting again. And so I thought, okay, I'm going. I told Brother Smith, I said, my head has been hurting so bad, and I fell Monday, and I said, I need to go to the doctor, I guess, but I want to trust God first. So he prayed for me, and that when I went back to my seat, I mean, it didn't happen right away, but when I was like, wow, my head's not hurting. I told Angie, it's not hurting anymore. She goes, thank you, Lord. And so after church, I said, Brother Smith, my headache's gone. He goes, thank you, Lord. And I haven't got my headache back, so I'm thankful, because it scared me. You know, I was thinking that maybe, you know, again, I always say this to Stan, oh, my God, I'm going to get a brain tumor. He goes, honey, there you go bragging. You got to have a brain first, you know. Anyways, but, you know, that's the only first thing always comes to my mind, a brain tumor, you know. But, you know, it was sore, but it's not sore anymore, you know, and I know God did it. I know God touched me, and I mean, I'd be so ungrateful if I didn't get up to thank him publicly and let y'all know what he's doing for me, that he, you know, he hasn't left me and I haven't left him. I mean, he's never left me. And all week, you know, I play this, I can't think who's the one that sings the songs, but there's a song that, oh, I just love it, about there's a reason. I don't know the reason for this trial, but all I know is that I can't make it without you, Lord. And I, you know, every day, you know, I let him know that there's no way that I would walk without him. I need him every day, every hour, 7 days a week. And so I just want to let y'all know that I'm not discouraged. And if I cry, also like today, you know, I got, because I knew I was going to keep the kids. And so when I went to my orthopedic, of course, they want to do surgery on my shoulders. And I said, no, no, no. I don't need that right now. I can't add no more financial burden to our situation. He said, well, he goes, they're pretty bad. He goes, let me give you some cortisone shots. And I said, okay. So he gave me one here and here. And he really hurt this shoulder by punching my joints. And I kept hurting and kept And I go, oh, God, no, no more, no more. And he said, yeah, I've got to get in there. And I go, okay. And it felt good that day and that night, my shoulders. But it started coming back, the pain. And what is it? Oh, so today, when I was, I didn't get much sleep last night because it was hurt, not because of the kids, but because of me in pain. And so when I don't get any sleep, I get, you know, emotional if something happens. And so they were a little rowdy this afternoon. And so I thought, oh, I better go ahead and leave. It was 12:35, and I walked out to the van, and I couldn't get the key. It wouldn't start, and it was like, oh, I mean, I couldn't even get it to turn. And first thing come to my mind, you know, okay, God, you don't want me to leave, you know, okay, but please help me, you know. So I just came inside. I said, Elisha, go get Brother Fred, because he had already come out, and he, Brother Painter's the one that come out, and I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, you know, I said, I started crying. I said, I'm sorry. I said, but I'm hurting, and I can't get that van to start. So he went out. He worked on it, worked on it. Come to find out that the I had turned the wheels like this. I locked it, you know. But while we were sitting out there, I told Elisha, I said, maybe God didn't want us to leave. I said, if one of them says something like that, I'll know. I said, God, forgive me, you know. But they didn't. They came in back in, Brother Oates and Brother Painter, and said what I had done. And I thanked them, and I think I was getting ready to dismiss anyway, but I felt like, okay, you're so merciful, God, you know, because I always feel guilty. I have such a guilty conscience, you know, and I don't never like to leave early or anything like that, you know, unless something necessary. And forgive me, Brother Mike, for, you know, I didn't walk out because I was mad or anybody or anything like that, you know, and I guess I was just being a weenie because I was hurting real bad. But anyways, I do love each one of y'all, and I appreciate everybody here, and I appreciate all your testimonies. They're so encouraging, and just keep it up, because that's what we're here for, to help each other out. And I I know that, you know, got a ways to go, but I know that with God's help, that's the only way I'm going to make it. And I'm rambling. The kids are getting rowdy here. Anyway, I love you all. Please keep praying for our family.
I usually don't get up, but Sister Fisher kind of made me feel guilty if I wouldn't have. I got sick last week, like around Tuesday, and ended up going to the hospital on Thursday. And when I went to the emergency room, they told me, he said, I can see why, you know, you're having the problems you're having. He said, it looks like you have a bowel obstruction. And he said, you know, we have to keep you and a surgeon will come in and see you tomorrow. And so a surgeon came in, and when he came in, he said, I'm not seeing what the emergency room doctors were seeing. He said, I really don't feel like, you know, that you really need to have this, because they had stuck a tube down my nose. And he said, I really don't feel like you need that. He said, how about we just take it out and see if you can hold things down, and then you can go home the next day. And I really feel like God touched me, because, you know, even the radiology technician, the one that was doing the x-ray, she said, you know, are you having pain? Because, you know, I can see something in there. So if even if the technician and the ER doctor could see it and then the surgeon couldn't, you know, I know that, you know, God had to have touched me. And I think he allowed me to go through that just to let me know what he can do. And but I really do appreciate him, and I appreciate everybody here, how they welcome me and our family, and really make us feel loved. And I just wish everybody would keep us in their prayers, because it's really hard without the grandkids and kids. And but I'm just thankful to be here.
Truly, once again, it's a blessing to be here to see all you all's beautiful faces. And I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for another opportunity to stand before you all in the presence of our wonderful Savior. And my wife told me to say hello, tell you all hello. Kind of woke up at the last minute after service, and I think I can get dressed a little bit faster than she can, and wanted to make some type of presentation. Hadn't been with you guys in a while, and just like I said, it's great to be here. It was a blessing to hear the testimony, because the Bible said we're overcome by the power of your testimony. Thank God for your brother, the brother, and his desiring to enjoy life, because that's what God wants us to do. He didn't put us here to be miserable. We don't serve a God that is hitting us with a ruler every time we do wrong. But what God wants us to know, he wants us to know his word. The Bible says, he said, put us in remembrance of his word. I talk to Christians a lot of time daily, and I think where the struggle is, because he said, as he was quoting the scripture, take my yoke up on me, and he said, learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy. He said, easy. And his burdens are light. But where the problem might come in is the transition. Anytime you have to make a change from the old into the new, sometimes the transition from taking it from the way we used to doing it into the way that God say do it, it's challenging sometimes. You'll say, well, this is the way I've been doing it for so many years. Well, you could have been doing it that way for so many years wrong. So now we have to make the transition as we continue to practice. Anything that you all start to practice, these guys, they play their instruments. The more you practice, the easier it becomes. The more you put it into practice, it almost started coming naturally. It almost starts to, you know, you can just go and do it. But at the beginning, if you think back, when you first started, it was a challenge. The bicycle riding, you had the training wheels on it. But all of a sudden you kept on riding, all of a sudden now you can get on it, and you can get on it, and you hadn't been on it in a long time, and then you get on it, and you go, it just come natural because you practice it. And that's what the Lord, and we have to quote what the Lord said. He said, my burdens, my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. We have to rehearse that in our spirit, because what I find is a lot of times we'll hear what the pastor's saying, we hear what a speaker is saying, and we walk out that door, and we forget to use the word that we just learned. We forget to incorporate it in our spirit and put it into practice. But this is what Jesus came to set an example for us on how we are to live. To live a victorious life, not a defeated life. He wants us to live a victorious life, because in him, the Bible said, in him there is no failure. So anytime I fail in my life, anytime I miss, I have to check and see, did I do what he said do? Did I do it the way he said do it? Because if I'm walking in him, then there's no failure. You follow what I'm saying? If I walk according to his will, then there's no failure. So that's why he tells us, once we get saved, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to learn about who we have accepted in our lives. We need to learn about who this is that we're following. Because we're now out of Satan's hand, we're into God's hand. Because the Bible says we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And that's why the gospel needs to be preached, that we may get saved and get to know him, the one who died for our sin. If you turn to James chapter 1. And verse 22. Through 26, I believe. And it reads, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. So there's two things. He said not only to look, that's one thing, but then he said to continue. So you might come here Wednesday night, pastor, whoever doing Bible study, Sunday school, and you're looking into the law of liberty, this freedom. But if you go outside that door and forget what you read, forget what God said about you, forget what God says you can have, the enemy comes. You know, he talks about the parable of the sower, where the thief comes, some of the seed was planted by the wayside, some were planted on stony ground, some planted in the rocks, didn't have much root. And the thief, and then talk about some came, planted, and then the cares of the world came and choked the word. And in essence, it took it. And that's why the Lord said, guard your heart with all diligence. He said, when you grab hold to this word, you guard it. Because you have something precious here. Remember the guy who went out into a field and found a pearl of great price? The Bible said he went back and sold all that he had. All the his material blessings, all that he thought was worthwhile keeping, and found Jesus. That pearl was Jesus. And he said he sold all that. In essence, he count that to be nothing. Paul said, I count all that I've done to be nothing, that I may know Christ. Because when you have the Son, you have it all. Unlike the rich young ruler, he was confused. He had a lot of this world good, but he didn't have an understanding who it all belonged to. So he would not give it up. And he ended up having to give it up anyway. So he says, but he's like a person that behold himself and go straightway and forget what manner of man he was. But then he goes on to say, on the flip side, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. And look at that reward. This is what God has promised. This is just one of his many promises. He said, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. Everything God asks you to do, there's a promise of fulfillment, of reward behind it. And I don't know about you, but I like rewards. So he says this. Now, we get up in the morning, or whenever we get up, if you have to go to work, go to school, and if you're homeschooled, and you still might go get in front of the mirror, comb your hair, put your makeup on, whatever it is that you get dressed, and you look at yourself and you say, okay, I'm satisfied. I look good. So you go out the door. Now, what your conscience said, yes, I'm ready to be presented, be presentable. I'm presentable. You go out the door, and the enemy says, you don't look all that good. You're not that. You're not this. And all of a sudden, this confident person is like this. You forgot what you saw in the mirror. That's what the scripture says. But then he says, now, you're looking in the perfect law of liberty. That's God's word. Now, what God say about you? You're more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but you're more than a conqueror. You're the head, not the tail. He said, I know my thoughts towards you to prosper you and bring you into a blessed end. God made these promises, and he wants us to know them. When the enemy comes up against them, we need to be quoting God's word. It's to see, do you believe what he says? Do you believe what God say about you? Do you? Because then, no matter how the enemy comes up against you, you have that shield of faith. And those things that he's throwing at you, trying to defeat you, that it would change your conversation, that I know we can make it. I know we can do all things in Christ Jesus. Instead of saying, well, I don't know if we can do it. Well, what the word says? What does the word say? What does the word say about you? When somebody try to tell you you're not what you God said you are, what does the word say? It's not being arrogant. It's standing on the word. Jesus many times told the Pharisees and Sadducees about themselves. And what he come, he said, I come to do the work of the Father who sent me. So the blessing is lining ourselves up with the will of God. God, what do you call me to do? What am I supposed to do first? The Bible says charity starts at home. So it starts here with me. And then it spreads around, spreads abroad. It's like a circle that continues to get bigger and bigger in my household, then in my neighborhood, then in my community. You know, whoever God is leading, putting in my way. But first, it's getting myself lined up with the will of God. First, getting the understanding and standing firm on what God's word says. The enemy comes and tries to tear at you, tries to tear your confidence down in Christ Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being confident in Christ Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being strong. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not strong in your own self, but strong in the Lord. Now, in the world, I thought I was strong, but I hadn't met strength until I got into Jesus. I faced some things that I normally wouldn't face in the world, but in him, he said, be strong. So he says, but this man, you look in the perfect law of liberty, so this liberty is setting me free. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free, I think we said last time I was here, make free is free indeed. So the key is not only hearing God's word. It's not just quoting it, but it's being a doer of his word. Scripture said, do good to all men, but he said, especially those who are in the household of faith. What does the scripture say? So that's when he asked the rich, go back to the rich and unruly, Jesus said, he said, what does the commandment say? He said, all them I kept. Jesus put him back to the word, didn't he? He put him back to the word. Every time somebody, he said, what does the word say? He tells them what the word says. In John, he said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word, it didn't say Jesus. It's just interesting how he put the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in essence, what he's saying is God just, he sent his word down here on earth to speak his word. You see what I'm saying? He sent his word down here to speak his word. So what are you speaking? Are you speaking his word on your situation? Are you speaking his words on your problem? You know, are you speaking his word on your trials? Blessed is a man that's tried. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. What does his word say? Knowing the trying of your faith worketh patience. He sent the word, and the word spoke the word. Jesus said, I didn't come to make of myself no reputation. He said, he counted himself not robbery to be equal with God. So he sent the word to speak the word over his situation. And you have to remember that. Children are a blessing of the Lord. You hear somebody say contrary? No, children are a blessing of the Lord. My children are a blessing because they're from the Lord. Children are blessed. There's people out here paying big money to try to have some kids. On the black market, they paying $50,000, $100,000, $1 million to have a kid. And you able to have one. The Bible said children are a blessing, and you have to look at them. No, they might not be acting like a blessing from time to time, but the Lord said they are a blessing. And that's what I call you, a blessing. You are a blessing. I know you're acting this way, but you are a blessing. Because that's what the Lord says. And the brother was talking about getting online. That's it. We have to get online. Our agenda has to align up with God's agenda. Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but let your will be done. He knows the desires of your heart. But once we line up and put him first, he knows the young people that you desire to do something. Middle-aged people, God knows that you still have a desire to do something. Elderly people, God still knows that you have a desire to do something. So we just have to get online with him, and he'll make it come to pass. That's the trusting. It's no coincidence that Abraham was 99 before he had his first child, because he knew there were going to be some older people, but then there were some younger people that made some things happen. So he put that in the Bible too, for some younger people to see, well, does God care about me, my desires, and where I'm trying to go to in life? Maybe I'm confused. I don't know what direction to turn. Here's the perfect law of liberty to set you free from confusion. The perfect law of liberty to set you away from your frustrations. It's liberties to set you free. So he said, look in this word. And then, you know, I'll say this, and when I look in this, the first time I started really reading it and really, it cut me. Because here it says, if we go back to verse 25, he says, whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty and continue therein, know the scripture says the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endureth to the end. I looked in this, and this mirror started showing me some things that I wasn't, but that I should have been. And it started showing me myself, the person that I was before I started surrendering. And it didn't look good. It wasn't a pretty picture. And I closed it, but I couldn't leave it. I set it down and I had initially started doing my quiet time. I set it down and walked out of there, but then it drew me back into it. So that means I had to continue. No man goes in to get surgery, get cut open, and then get up off the surgery table. Let God finish the work in you. When he finished, in this each area of your lives, because the Bible talks about how we go from faith to faith to glory to glory. That means for every level of God challenging you and purging you to come on up to this level, there's a warfare, because that old nature, sin nature, don't want to give it up. He don't want to give up residence. But once God, through you and God working together, and it's you overcome, then it's going on to the next level. And that's how you're able to help somebody else overcome. I couldn't tell you how to get to California if I'd never been there. Nor can you tell somebody how to get delivered of such a thing if you never allowed the Lord to get you delivered of it. So the key thing is staying continuous, steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the truth. You have to stay on the operating table, stay on the potter's wheel, and let the Lord continue to shape you and mold you. He that began a good work in you is able to finish it to the end. So God, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Lord, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I'll trust you, Lord. So I just admonish you, stay in the word. Whatever the word is, use God's word on the situation. Because the enemy will paint a picture that it's not even there. But if he can get you to step into it in unbelief, he'll paint a picture of unbelief. Or this ain't going to happen for you. If he can get you to convince, just like God is trying to convince us of his word, that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine and hope for. Yes, he wants to do that for you and me. But his enemy said, no, God is not going to, don't want to do that. And Joshua said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. So what picture are you going to step in? Are you going to step in this picture of freedom, this picture of liberty, and use God's word? Or are you going to step in the picture of doubt and unbelief that God can't do it? May God bless you and God keep you.
The stars in place. I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. And at times your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense. And all you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. He'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. And at times your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense, and all you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. He'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset, put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. At times the load is heavy, at times the road is long. When circumstances come your way and you think you can't go on, when you're feeling at your weakest, Jesus will be strong. He'll provide the answer when you find all hope is gone. He'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset, put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset, put the stars in place. I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. Times your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense, and all you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. He'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset, put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. For I know if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever to open heaven's gates, then I know for you,